We're continuing our reading at the story of Joseph, and Allison will read scripture for us this morning from Genesis chapter 45.
Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all of his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to my brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him, because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your grandchildren and children, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, so can my brother Benjamin, that is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father all the honor accorded to me in Egypt and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly.' Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him."
Lots of people from the church have been helping me with my grammar, English, and pronunciation. But I hope today you can be better used to my accent. But we have been so blessed. The message, the life, have been come among us by the Holy Spirit. So this story of Joseph has been so wonderful. We talk about from Genesis 37, today we come to 45. So the story is not ending now, but the climax of the story come today. So yesterday we talked about, no, last week, no, yesterday, we talked about his brothers and his father repented before God, before God. So when we talk about this, I find this really comforting, especially for the people who have been abandoned, who have been slandered, who have been broken, who have been wronged. Even myself will never feel worried. I know God is here. So in Genesis 44, we see Joseph's brother had been treated very graciously by Joseph. They've been provided with food. And Joseph showed hospitality at his own house and table. So they have been very happy with that. But all suddenly, they were stopped on their way home. They were searched. And each of them were found with some money in their sack. And Benjamin was found with Joseph's cup, the silver cup, in his own possession. It seems the world come to end for them. If they thought like this, they were wrong, because something worse waiting for them. When they come to the presence of Joseph, Judah, the fourth son of Jacob and Leah, he made a very passionate appeal. The appeal for his younger brother and his aged father. When they did this, what do they expect? They expect some mercy from the powerful governor. And also they are waiting for a verdict, a judgment from the governor. But however, at this moment, they saw the governor let everyone leave the room. Nobody there, only Joseph and his brother. And also they might see some tears flowing down Joseph's cheek. They might see Joseph's chest heaving because of strong emotion. They didn't know what happened. A lot of people, when we read the beginning of Genesis 45, the people say Joseph was totally overcome by the emotion, because the emotion had been checked for years. He won't cry. He won't cry together with his brothers, with his family. He couldn't control himself. But actually, that's not the case. You know, in Genesis 43, Joseph was very sad. He cried, but he left the presence of his brother. He wept, then he returned. That means he knew how to control his emotion. But this time, he cried before them, even before others. He cried so loudly. All the people in the palace heard it. And even the family, the household of Pharaoh, heard his crying. Why did he want to reveal himself now, not early or not later? Because he knew and he recognized the repentance, the evidenced repentance. What is the evidence of the repentance? First, his brothers confess. So confession is a sign, a mark for one to repent. I'm a sinner. We are sinner. We are undeserved sinner. So in Genesis 43, they said, God, we saw God clearly punish us. We're punished by God. In 44:16, they say, God, uncover the guilt of your servant. They see God's hand there. They know they are a sinner. Then they recognize another point. They ask for mercy. They don't think they deserve justice. They ask for the mercy of the governor. Not only for them, it's for their youngest brother, Benjamin. for your father. Judah, he said, let me take the place of my brother. Have mercy on my father. So this is the evidence of repentance. They repent. Repent, this word in Hebrew, it means turn away. Which means they turn away from sin. They don't want to do that again. They know God, know everything. They want to come to the correct way. Not sin again and again. Some people may think, you know, if a person repent, which means they come to righteousness. Maybe, but not really. In Genesis 50, we find they still doubt Joseph when their father died. What did they say? They say, well, we should be careful. Our father is dying, he can do something to us. Which means they are still not righteousness. But Joseph tells them, you intend to harm me, God intend to build, to save. Wow. So this tells us their life and the whole life. It tells us repentance is not only once happened when you were baptized. When you come to the presence of God, repentance and forgiveness is a long, lifelong, ongoing procession. For a whole life, every moment, we need to repent. We need to forgive. At that moment, they heard this powerful governor blurted out. In Hebrew, wow, that's something terrified them. The Hebrew says, Ani Yosef. Ani, it means I am. Yosef, it's Hebrew. Joseph. I am Joseph, your brother. Wow. As brothers come together, I think they should feel happy. No, no, no. That's a bad news, the worst news. Joseph is the one, is the last one they want to meet in the world. We remember at the beginning of Genesis 42, when their father wanted them to go to Egypt, they kept looking at each other. Why? Unconsciously, the mountain. We talked about last time the mountain. What is the mountain? It is the horrible scene. They sold their brother as a slave. So you couldn't come over this. They never thought they will face Joseph, the brother they sold as a slave, again. How about now? Joseph had been the most powerful one. Just in front of them, they were terrified. When you read Genesis 45, 1 to 15, you will find all the words are spoken by Joseph. What was the brother doing? They were frozen. All of them were frozen. They were speechless. They were terrified. We can imagine how surprised, how terrified these nasty guys were. They might think we confessed. We are good now. They might think we want to lay down ourselves. No, that's not enough. You have to face the one you betrayed. You have to face the one you sold. It's just like a nightmare come true for them. So it was too much for them. They couldn't stand. They couldn't face. they couldn't face. However, you know, when Joseph talked to them, last time we talked about Joseph, God caused him to forget the painful, the wrong his brother did to him. He forgave them. He forgave them. And he reconciled with them. What's the meaning of reconciliation? In church, we talk about reconciliation. What's the meaning? So the first meaning is accept. Joseph accepted them as brother. I am Joseph, your brother. Brother means you're my family. So Joseph accepted them as sinless. As sinless. These guys, they are offenders. They offended Joseph. They sold him. But Joseph said to them, don't be grieved. Don't be angry with yourself. Because you sold me. Wow. That's something that's really out of mind. He just tried to call them. Forgive them, persuade them. Don't be grieved with yourself. Don't be angry with yourself. Forgive yourself. Whenever when we want to forgive some others, if you truly forgive them, our heart will be filled with love. So love means you don't want to excuse them. You want to prosecute them. You know, in Job, we know Satan is called excuser. He don't want to prosecute his brother. He said, you are fine, you are good, we are family. Don't worry about yourself. So accept, it's very important. The second is Joseph removed deserved punishment. He don't want to punish them. He don't want to revenge. He see God's glorious providence. It is God. It's not you. Send me here before you to preserve life, to save. This is very hard, you know. We can forgive a person in our life. A lot of time we do this. But we still want to do something to remind him you are wrong. You did something awful. You must remember that. You should learn a lesson. But Joseph didn't do this. He removed all punishment or even do something to offend them. And he rewarded his brothers with abundant new life. He gave them food, love, they hug each other, weep each other, they love each other as true family. And he rewarded them a place called Goshen. Now, Goshen, when you see in the map, so you will see it's the best place in Egypt. So Joseph, he just showed us, all of us, what's the meaning of reconciliation? Reconciliation means you accept as sinless. And your punishment will be removed. And you will be rewarded with a new life, abandon the new life. You will live in the best place in the world. Some place you cannot never imagine. It's out of your imagination. When we think of this, we come to our Lord Jesus. When Jesus comes to the cross, when he was there, he prayed for the sinner. He prayed for the sinner. And he accepted them as sinless. As sinless. And also, all the repentant will get a new life. Will get new life. When we talk about accept, I just remembered last Thursday, Elsie Takasaki invited me and my family to watch a movie at her house. The movie's name is War Room. Maybe some of you ever seen this movie, War Room. It tells a story about a very regular story. The modern people make this world as a war room. But mostly, we make our house a war room. Wife and husband, parents and children, we fight. We fight every day. We just make the house a war room. But the movie tells us, you are wrong. You take the wrong enemy. You fight wrong people. Your war room is in your heart. You should fight the evil one in your soul. You fight your wife or your husband. That's wrong. So I just come to this word accept. When we ask it the question, how much do you accept your wife or your husband? How much you accept your children? How much you accept your family? How much we accept our church? How much we accept our God? Maybe we can say 50%, or some people say 80%, but we never 100%. We accept our family as sinless, as the one deserve our love, not deserve our punishment. Let's come to the second, remove deserved punishment. A lot of time we think we should do something to make the people remember the lesson. So that's why some people, they think of a place called purgatory. A purgatory is a place for you to become pure, holy. Why? Because you are not holy. When you die, you cannot come to heaven. Before you come to God, you should be cleaned, cleansed, purified. Purified. How can we do that? They said there's a place can purge you, make you cleaner. We don't believe that. We forgive in complete forgiveness. When we turn away from sin, our Lord, our God, in His grace, He just gave us totally, completely forgiveness. Our judgment will be removed. We don't worry about that. We don't fear about that. Because our Lord gave us assurance in our faith. That's why we feel we are okay. We are loved. We are comforted by our Lord. We know He loves us so much. He gave His only Son on the cross. Our God never overlooked our sin. Your sin is there. But He bore the sin Himself, just like Joseph. Joseph experienced a lot, suffered 14 years. That's something for a human being to suffer. It's very hard. for anyone as a slave sold by your brothers. You were set up, you were rounded, thrown in the dungeon, and you were forgotten. Just like nothing in this world. But that's okay. Why? Because we have a God. We know we will be rewarded a new life, abundant life. We will live in Goshen, the best place in Egypt, in this world. He's a holy God, a loving God. And reconciliation also requires us something happened deep in our heart. Deep in our heart. We must confess our sin. And also, we must know how sinful we are. When I read the letters written by Paul, St. Paul, he said he's the worst of sinners. Wow, it's a surprise for me. He's the worst. How about you and me? We are better? I'm sweating when I read this sentence. I think I'm better. So we must know how sinful we are. When Augustine, he was the person, you know, to found the foundation for our belief, you know. We don't know how to understand the Bible. God gave him a lot of wisdom. But in his later years, he cried almost every day. He prayed to God. He said, I am the worst in this world. So it is a total depravity. That means we couldn't save ourselves at all. We are in total inability. We cannot do anything without our God. That's what Jesus said. This world, we have seen so much injustice. We even couldn't stand it. How can we do this something to better this world? We have no power. The power of Christ, Jesus, overcome the power of sin. But the power of sin for us, it is invincible. Now, which means we couldn't beat it. It's too powerful. Only powerful, only possible for Jesus Christ, since he is a God. He's the Messiah and Savior. In our good work, we will do some good work. We are God people. We witness our God to glorify the God. Whenever we live in God, we live in this victory. Whenever you are blind to God, you live in sin. You live in pain. You live in struggle. Although we are struggling, but if God is with us, we are living in victory. That is wonderful. Unimaginable. When I check the word, God's presence. In Hebrew, actually, it's one word. God's presence and God's face is one word. Panim. Panim, it means face, our face. And also means the presence of God. The face of God. It's one word. So which means when you seek the presence of God, we are seeking God's face. We are looking at God's face. We talk to God face to face, just like Moses. It is wonderful. How can we imagine that? We live in the presence of God, which God is facing us, looking at us. He is in us. He is over us. He is around us, behind us. He is all in all. We're just in Him. We cannot escape from this God. But a lot of times we are blind to our God. That's why we live in sin. We live in pain. Living God, in front of God, that's our God calling. I want to wrap up my sermon with Psalm 105, verse 2 and 4. Sing to Him, sing praise to Him. Tell of His wonderful acts. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. Like all of us, seek the face of our God. This has been demonstrated by the life of Joseph, by this story. Living God, he had been blessed when he was sold, when he was a slave, when he was tempted, when he was in a dungeon, when he was forgotten, when he was in the most powerful position. He had been blessed all the way by our Lord, by our God. Okay, I invite the worship team. Let's pray together. Let's bow down, pray to our God. God Father, thank you. We appreciate what you have done for us, Lord. We are undeserved sinners, but you give us the precious Son of God. He bore all the sins and the punishment and the curse instead of us. You give us love. You grant us a new life, abandoned life, eternal life. Thank you. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.